Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Regionalized Emergency Medical Care Services Steering Committee. This call is being recorded, and if you need any technical assistance throughout the conference, just press star zero. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Eric Colchimero. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Gwen, and welcome to the steering committee members and others on the line to the conference call of the Regionalized Emergency Medical Care Services Steering Committee as we move forward with this project in the consensus development process. We really appreciate your support and ongoing participation in this effort. A reminder that if you are not speaking, please to keep your line on mute, and then certainly open up whenever you have input to provide. And then, as Gwen mentioned, for technical difficulties, please dial star zero and the operator will be able to work with you and hopefully resolve any issues you may be having. So at this point, I want to turn it over to Sally Turbeville here at NQF. And again, thank you for your participation.
Welcome. Thank you, Eric. We're very pleased to have you on the call today and have the opportunity to further obtain your input and guidance on the measurement framework report. So what I'm going to do at this point is hand it over to Eric to administer the roll call and review the agenda for today's call, after which we'll ask the co-chairs to offer any opening comments. Certainly, as we go through the agenda, if there's anything that's missing, we'll get your input at that time. So, Eric, if you could go ahead with the roll call.
Terrific. When you hear a name, if you could just please say present or here. Dr. Kellerman?
Here.
Mr. Rozak?
Present.
Dr. Carr?
Here.
Dr. Cooper? Dr. Fildes?
Here.
Ms. Henderson?
Here.
Mr. Kirkwood?
Here.
Dr. Kusky?
Here.
Mr. Loyakno?
Here.
Dr. Mayer? Dr. Martinez?
Here.
Dr. McCullough?
Here.
Mr. Newdell?
Present.
Dr. Pines?
Here.
Dr. Rinner? Dr. Sayer?
Here.
Ms. Shively?
Here.
Mr. Wingrove?
Here.
Dr. Wright? And Dr. Zane?
Here.
And for the record, do we have anyone from HHS on the line? I think I heard Tabinda Bernie?
Yeah, Tabinda's here.
Welcome, Tabinda. Is anyone else from HHS or our federal partners on the line at the moment? And from UNC, Chuck Carnes, you're there?
I'm here.
Welcome. Jeff Williams, UNC?
Here.
Terrific. All right.
And Eric, this is Helen Grosso, which I'm on as well.
Excellent. And is anyone else who I did not mention on the line at this time, on the speaker's line? Okay. So again, welcome to the call. Just to do a brief review of the agenda before turning it back to Sally. Following the welcome and introductions here, we'll go into discussion of the framework report with Chuck and Jeff leading us through the changes made following the in-person meeting of the steering committee. Get your responses to the slides that Chuck and Jeff present and really engage you on the revisions to the framework report. Following that discussion, we'll move into kind of the second part of our call today, which is looking at the topic of subdomains and exploring potentially adding more depth in the way of subdomains to the framework report. After that, per NQF custom, we'll do NQF member and public comment to see if anyone else on the line has additional thoughts, and then we will move forward with any next steps and kind of planning for the future activities in this project. Any questions about the agenda? Terrific. At this point, I'll just hand it back to Sally, and again, thank you for your participation.
Art and Andy, do you have any opening remarks before we talk about the call's objectives, or do you at this time?
No, I simply want to thank people for taking the time to be on the call and to remind folks that this is a real sprint today. We essentially have, at this point, about 80 minutes to cover a lot of ground. And very importantly, the group has to decide whether the document as it is today is ready for prime time and public comment or whether additional work will be needed. So I would encourage people to offer novel observations. Remember, this is not the call for I agrees, and let's power through the agenda. But thanks, everyone, for your time and attention today, and we will have a hard stop at 5:30 Eastern.
Thank you. And that's absolutely right. I want to echo that. We're very pleased that you've taken time out of your day once again to discuss with us and provide us more input and guidance on this framework report. I think as we've gone through this process, we really have obtained extremely valuable input from the steering committee from the first draft and are hopeful that we've addressed many of them through the efforts of Dr. Cairns and Williams, but also want to make sure we have the opportunity to get any further input. So for the objectives for today, as mentioned, you'll see on the last bullet on that slide and underlined, the overarching goal is for us to get a determination from the steering committee if the framework is ready for member and public comment. Just as a reminder on how the process works, regardless of when it goes to member and public comment, once it does, we post the document for 30 days. There are email blasts that go out to various stakeholders alerting them to its posting. We also encourage the steering committee members to reach out to their colleagues and other known experts that we might inadvertently miss. And we gather that input through a web-based application. We organize it, and then all of the comments that we receive go back to the steering committee, and depending on the tone and the request of the public comment, we would convene another conference call with all of you to determine what changes, if any, need to occur after public comment review. So for today's call, we do want to review what we heard and understood as the marching orders consequent to the in-person meeting that we had at the end of May, then discuss the draft framework that was sent to you in response to that meeting and the input, and obtain your input and guidance. Did it address those recommendations? Does it stir up new recommendations that the steering committee wants to discuss that would influence a future draft? We also want to spend a little bit of time, given what we know about how useful domains and subdomains are to measure developers when we think about the development of and the finalization of a framework report, whether or not the domains, as the steering committee have agreed to, require some further fleshing out with subdomains. Domains are not required to have subdomains, but we do want to make sure we spend time with all of you, take advantage of having you on the phone together, and see whether or not it warrants a little bit more discussion and actually listing some subdomains. So we'll get to that once we get through the first three items today. And then clearly we'll discuss the project timeline and next step. And depending on your determination of where the revision of the framework is now in respect to its readiness for member and public comment, if you decide it's not quite there yet, we will ask to obtain concrete, as much as that can be, points in what needs to happen in order for it to be ready. So if it's determined to be ready, given a few minor tweaks, that's great. If not, what we hope to get out today is what else do we need to do to get it ready. Any questions about the objectives for today's call? Okay, so that said, I do want to hand it back over to your co-chairs, and then they'll, along with Dr. Cairns and Dr. Williams, will discuss what has happened to the report, but we ask the co-chairs to help facilitate this discussion.
Well, thank you very much, Sally, and thank you again to everybody for their hard work on this project. We definitely could not do it without you. So I suppose the best use of our time right now would be to engage the UNC folks and have Chuck give a brief overview. I suppose Jeff is on the line as well, about where we've been and where we are after our last two-day meeting session. So Chuck or Jeff, go ahead and take it away if you would, please.
Well, thank you very much, Andy, and frankly, thank you to all on the steering committee. We found the session to be valuable. Frankly, it's been an honor working with you all on this project, and we look forward to your additional comments and engagement. We thought we would put together a very brief slideshow just to highlight the changes and how we interpreted both the comments and the subsequent input given into this draft of the framework report. So we're going to have a series of slides. The initial slides should be up on the webcast, and we'll just go through them one by one. And the intent is to just go through the slide set and have this serve as a focal point for discussion and, of course, address any issues that you or Dr. Kelman bring up, Andy. So if we go to the next slide, please. And I'm not sure who's controlling the screen.
Yeah, this is NQF is, and I'm going to tell you all ahead of time and apologize. With this webinar application, there is a delay, so bear with us if we don't quite catch up. It takes a while for it to pop on the user screen. What I pulled up right now, Chuck, is key terms and definitions. Is that the slide you want to be on?
That's absolutely fine, because the outline slide just basically highlighted the changes. It's capturing the sentiments of the steering committee, and I believe that everyone received the draft, so please look at the draft for specific comments and context. So one of the key issues that came up was this idea of key terms and definitions, and it really has been consolidated. You'll note in this version that regionalization and regionalized emergency medical care services systems are the only key terms defined in the body of the document. We have included a glossary where a number of other key concepts that were discussed at the meeting have been incorporated. In addition, there's this purpose of the framework. There one question that has come up in subsequent discussions is, should we change the title of this to regionalized emergency care system? We had a brief discussion of this at the steering committee meeting. It's currently regionalized emergency medical care services, and there may be more inclusive to define this as regionalized emergency care systems, and look forward to your comments on that. Next slide, Sally. Like the old international telephone call.
I know. We've given this feedback to the folks that make determinations on our software vendors, so to say.
Careful, you're aging yourself, Chuck.
The purpose of the framework is to add language to clarify the focus on the system level, and the discussion of a potential name change. We also added examples that were brought up at the meeting of data systems that really help to inform this system-level approach and could serve as a foundation for system-level performance measurements. And we've added language to clarify the scope from the population at risk to the ongoing emergency care to system-level feedback and changes. Next slide. It is like the old sonar. Okay, episodes of care. Added language to address this population at risk concept, which was highlighted at the steering committee and which was clearly important to the first domain. We've included the concept of a feedback loop so the system can be adaptive. We've also added a discussion on the potential limitation of the episode of care model. It typically focuses in on an individual patient's experience, and yet we need to have a concept where we have population issues, systems capacity, and access to that system as part of this episode of care approach. Next slide. specifically under the domain, there's a new domain added. This new domain is entitled Capability, Capacity, and Access, and we incorporated not only the discussion from the meeting, but also specific examples. For example, the HHS preparedness models, such as the Hospital Preparedness Program. Next slide. Under the second domain, the title has been changed to Recognition of Diagnosis, and basically discuss this measurement gap, and frankly, this may be an area for subdomain discussion between when an episode actually begins, and the meeting consensus appeared to be when symptoms begin, and then when an episode has traditionally been measured, which includes interaction with the 911 system, EMS, and other components of the healthcare system at the hospital level. Next slide. In domain four, medical care has been highlighted as a data-driven process. And so there's a need for a common and shared data infrastructure that can cross these various settings and follow a patient and a population of patients through episodes or episodes of care. In domain five, the concept of shared accountability across units of service and these settings within the system is highlighted so that there needs to be a component of the coordination of care, for example, pre-hospital to hospital care. Next slide.
Hey, how are you?
Under domain six, outcomes, there's an added discussion on cost effectiveness and non-traditional network models that can be used to achieve cost-effective and patient-oriented care. And this includes an extension of additional provider groups, such as community paramedics, who field EMS providers who might provide public health support as well as traditional medic support. Beyond these changes to the domain and the key terms, were changes to the guiding principles. Number one was changed to include this focus on population. Number two was reworded to clarify this focus on capability and capacity, given the addition of the first domain. Number three, just to get rid of the term immature. Number four, changed to include patient-centered processes and the idea of patient-centered care. Number five, on the next slide, was changed to include the concept of transparency. Number six was changed to clarify adaptive rather than continually changing as a concept. There were two new principles added. Number seven principle, let's promote the overall theme of a fully integrated system with common oversight. And the new principle number eight was added to highlight the need for data and data-driven processes to guide this system. Next slide, further efforts were included, especially a discussion of the schedule, distinguishing unscheduled care from emergency care and highlighting the need to study how unscheduled care can affect the provision of emergency care in order to broaden some of the concepts of the system to include unscheduled care. On the next slide, we highlight some of the changes to the appendices. Appendix A figure on the episode of care is amended to include a feedback loop. In addition, this example includes the new elements of domain one. In addition, the glossary was added as an appendix B, and you'll see that a number of those key concepts discussed at the steering committee have now been included in this glossary, terms such as ambulance diversion, boarding, centralization, and other terms that were discussed in the steering committee have not just a technical, but a functional basis, and to inform any readers of the concept, of these concepts. And Jeff, do you have anything to add to this brief presentation?
No, thanks, Chuck. I think you did a nice job capturing our outline of our changes.
So I will turn it back over to you, Andy, and to Dr. Kellerman.
Well, thank you very much, Chuck, and thanks again to both Jeff and you for very great and quick work on this. Looking at slide six, I guess, is the first discussion point that has been raised, and that is the changing the topic or title from regionalized emergency care services to regionalized emergency care systems. And at this point, I guess I'd open the floor to any discussion we might have on the topic. Be mindful it's going to be a little bit hard to moderate this, so please try not to talk over each other, but would certainly welcome any comments that anyone might have regarding the title change.
This is John Files.
Go ahead, sir.
I actually like the change. I think it gives an identity to this process, which gives the necessary separation from classic emergency medical services. It creates a way of unblurring the lines between the two. So I support the name change.
This is John Kusky. I agree with that. Systems is a much better word to use because that's what we're talking about, and we're going to be talking more about these systems as we try to bring various clinical specialists into the realm. So I think that's a better choice of words myself.
Yeah, this is Rick Martinez. I actually support all that. The one thing I'd say, I thought that we had put in our glossary really a definition of a system to kind of help support that.
Chuck, is that now in the appendix? Or I know we did talk about that in one of the days.
Yeah, I don't think people understand systems very well. I thought we had a definition up front that somehow people thought it would be redundant to move it to the back, but I would suggest we put it at least in the glossary, what a system is, so we have a definition.
So, Rick, what we did is we actually consolidated a lot of that discussion into the two key terms, and so the key terms have really been condensed to the two key concepts. The first one was the concept of regionalization, and the second one then was systems in the context of regionalized emergency medical care services systems. So that was the context for the systems approach. In the glossary, we start to then define these other kinds of terms that contribute to that definition, Rick. So we've got the constituent terms then incorporated in the glossary.
Okay.
This is Art Kellerman. Am I hearing a general consensus that throughout the term regionalized emergency care systems is broader and more succinct than regionalized emergency medical care services systems? That's certainly what Greg Margolis thought. I think others, it strikes me as a more encompassing term, but I just want to make sure I'm interpreting the other people who chimed in correctly.
It works for me.
Yep.
I agree.
Yes.
Hi, this is Robin Shively. My only concern in taking out the medical side, I agree with taking out the services, but taking out the medical side, because in Michigan, in our emergency preparedness, they're actually focusing on emergency medical or emergency care systems regionalized. I don't want it to get mixed up with some of the emergency preparedness initiatives that are also going on, that it's broader than that.
This is Skip. Just at the risk of wordsmithing it to death, when you say emergency medical care systems, then you have somebody will wander off and wonder about, well, what about emergency surgical care? What about emergency trauma care? What about emergency pediatric care? So I think taking the restrictor out is just a semantically good thing to do.
This is Art. I think care gets us where we need to go regarding clinical delivery as opposed to emergency management. If it were regionalized emergency systems, there would be a lot of room for confusion.
Well, and that's what they're looking at, is regionalized emergency care systems. They've broadened it, and it's really a focus on the emergency preparedness side, and I don't have a real strong problem with it, but I also know that that's direction that some of our emergency preparedness partners are headed.
Other comments?
I think care by itself is fine. I understand the issue, and I think we'll have to deal with that another time.
Andrew, you want to move us along?
Yeah, I think we have general agreement to, unless there's any more great objections, I think we have general agreement to change the title. Is that accurate to say?
Yes.
Okay. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay. Other comments about the definitions of regionalization and regionalized emergency medical care services as defined in the revised paper? Any other comments or concerns about those two? All right. Moving on, I guess the next discussion point we had was on, let me see here, page 4, which is slide number 7. We've added examples of NEMSIS cares, NTBB. I suppose that's really not a point of discussion. I guess slide 8, we talked about some of the concept of measurement population issues. Does anyone have any comments or concerns about the revised language as presented to you about the measurement issues that we talked, the feedback loop, and that was very important we talked about during the two-day meeting, the potential limitation on the episode of care? Do you feel as though that's been adequately addressed? And other terms are on slide number 8. Okay.
Andrew, do you know where in the document the NEMSIS CARES and NTDB data systems are? I'm just trying to cross-reference to look at the language in the actual document, and now I can't find it. Or Chuck, I guess, or someone who...
Sorry, I was on mute. It's on page 4 of the revised markup document with the changes, track changes concept. Were you able to find that?
No, but that just might be me.
Okay, so on the track changes document, if you follow with the numbered pages, the introductory pages are labeled in small Roman numerals.
My apologies, Chuck. I was on the Roman numeral 4 instead of the number 4. I got it now.
Those are the Roman numeral 4. There you go, sir. And then the standard text.
Chuck, just to get back to that episodes of care, or I guess the feedback system question. I'm reading that. I've read that sentence. This is the one on the top of the first paragraph on the top of page 5, where it says to evaluate healthcare delivery to patients, and then later mentions the feedback system. I just don't think that's entirely clear what a feedback system is there. I know what you're getting at, but I can imagine someone who isn't, you know, ingrained in, you know, what feedback from whom to whom.
Yeah, Jesse, I see your comments. Would it be valuable to go ahead and say system level feedback to providers, services, and care institutions?
Yeah, or even a separate system, a separate sentence that describes what a feedback system is to people.
You think that there's
it's like it's just a big long run sentence that has it says feedback system twice in there, that it's just not clear what that means. I mean, maybe we can just break it up into a few different sentences, and then have a sentence in the middle that says what a feedback system is.
Absolutely. I think that it's a sound comment. Jeff, you have any discussion points on that?
No, not at all. I've got that comment. We'll make that change.
And it'll provide an opportunity for us to put in that clarifying descriptor as to whom feedback would be given.
Okay, that sounds really good. Any other comments on the episode of care or the feedback loop additions? Okay. Moving on, we've got the added domains. Domain one, now the capability, capacity, and access domain. And I know there was a few discussions offline about, you know, access and capability and the interplay between preparedness, maybe even the interplay between air ambulance services, all of those type issues to make sure that we really captured, you know, everything that was involved in that domain. So any discussions on the new domain one?
Only that, this is John Kusky, only that capability and capacity are also described in the EMTALIS regulations, and I will send a comment in about that. This has not been a good week for me to do that work, but that's also in the statute, and it should be hopefully consistent with what the statute says as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I know we had some email traffic back and forth, I guess it was last week or maybe the week before, about, you know, I don't think there's anywhere right now specifically in the document that talks about EMTALA. And is that an oversight? Is that something that we probably need to address? You know, it didn't come up during our two-day meeting. So it's probably a discussion point just to have some people weigh in and feel. So what are your thoughts? Should EMTALA be specifically mentioned and included in this document, or should we?
Well, I think it should be, because all the regionalization of any of care service, any service, is going to depend in large part on meeting the requirements of the EMTALA statute. And there are regulations now that were published in 2008, which set up the CMS EMTALA standards for these community call organizations. And I think that needs to be somehow included in this.
This is Skip. I think I initiated part of the capacity and capability discussion and when we were in Washington, and I didn't do so in the EMTALA context, not realizing those terms had been used as terms of art in EMTALA, but that if we're talking about something that's going to lead to the development of performance measures, that to some extent, performance measures have to be developed on sort of a scale with regard to what's possible. And just as to illustrate, there's a good chunk of the United States where achieving appropriate door to balloon time or appropriate incident to balloon time for somebody with a STEMI is simply not possible. So that if we're going, if these measures are going to be used by someone, for example, to make pay for performance decisions, then an absolute standard is not going to be very helpful or very well accepted by those who are subject to it. So there needed to be, my thought was, some sort of a capability index or capacity index that. For example, rural communities could use along with the objective standard to determine their performance relative to others similarly situated.
Other thoughts or comments on the EMTALA?
This is Martinez. I'm scratching my head a little bit. I'm not sure that we need to be using the EMTALA. I'm trying to understand why EMTALA would be the limiting factor here.
Well, it's not a limiting factor, but the community call plans that they worked out have a number of things in them that if they're regionalized plans that come to fruition through this effort, they're going to have to at least be cognizant of how EMTALA deals with community call projects. And the community is a broad definition. It could be a community like a city, or it could be a whole state or various counties within a state.
This is actually a topic we may circle back to a little later in the call when we get to the subdomains in terms of whether or not, and I'm not telegraphing the outcome of that, but whether or not some subdomain exists regarding regulatory environment in one of these major domains that would address issues of EMTALA, potential state regulations, et cetera, because any regionalized system in any community or area is going to exist in a legal and regulatory framework.
I guess that was the point I was making, is that, you know, those things are flexible things that it can be regional, it can be state, it can be, so you almost get into a slope of getting all these definitions. I like your thought that, you know, that's a whole category about, you know, existing regulatory limits, as it were, you know. Okay, thanks.
And Art, if I could just very brief comment in support of that. You know, that's been one of the discussion points, frankly, is that this has implications for not just regulatory effects, but, you know, policies, both within the federal government as well as state government. Just imagine the different entities involving regulation of EMS transport from air to ground, how it differs across states, how it differs across federal agencies, and potential need for a common approach to these issues. So I think it's well suited for that purpose.
This is Robin Shively under this capability capacity domain. I really liked it. I just had a couple questions, and we're looking at the personnel and facility resources. I think, is it inclusive in this thinking that we're looking at, like, the level of service that can be provided? Is it basic service? Is it advanced service? Not just from the personnel level, but from also the agency side on the pre-hospital side? Is that all inclusive in this thinking?
Anything, I mean, Chuck, if you want to respond to that, but I want to keep us moving forward on the domain discussions. So just trying to do a time check here.
Yeah, clearly the resources and capabilities of geographical regions that are available to populations, the defined populations, are clearly a component of this domain. And this may be another area for subdomain development, is to take a look not just the level of personnel, but level of capability and resources, to say nothing of how that might change over time to affect capacity.
Hey, everybody. This is Andy. I'm sorry. The power flicked off and I lost my connection.
That's okay. So I've scrolled on to domain 2 now, Andy, which is slide 10. Unless there's other comment on domain 1, we can go ahead and move on to the recognition and diagnosis domain.
Okay. What was decided on the EMTALA issue?
It sounds like we're going to see if it doesn't get addressed as we discuss subdomains.
Okay.
That was Art's recommendation, and I think I heard some agreement with that approach from the steering committee members.
All right, very good. And it's maybe another suggestion, if all else fails, I suppose we could stick in a guiding principle that says, you know, the quality measures will conform with applicable state and federal laws or something like that as a secondary option. Okay, domain number 2, the title change to recognition and diagnosis. And as we talked about, this talks about the gap between when the episode begins and when the symptoms begin and where the episode traditionally begins. Are there comments or discussion about the changes that were made to the document in regard to domain number 2? All right. Hearing none, let's move on to the next slide, please, which is domain 4, medical care. And we talked about the measurement of medical care should be data-driven and highlighted the need for common and shared data infrastructure with common oversight. There are comments about domain 4. All for those of you following along at home, that's page 13 of the track changes document, I believe. Okay. Moving on, the next slide, domain 5, coordination of care, which talks about shared accountability across the system. Not too many changes in this particular section. Are there any discussions, changes, opinions? Well, this group is being uncharacteristically quiet and well-behaved. All right, and then domain 6, outcomes, which looks like it's page 16 of your document if you're following along. Discuss some cost effectiveness and non-traditional network models.
Can you do me a favor? I'll cause trouble. Go back to domain 5 real quick.
Okay.
Coordination of care. Discuss the concept of a shared accountability across units of service within a system. Is that enough? I'm just wondering about, you know, transitions of care, handoffs, all that stuff. Is that all included in that?
Yeah, that's the at least the general framework in an episode of care, that transitions are an important part of coordination. Jeff, do you want to comment on that?
Sure. I mean, I do think that handoffs and transitions and measuring of handoffs and transitions and the space between units of service falls under Domain 5. If people think we need to be a little more explicit about that in the language, then we can. The addition was essentially talking about shared accountability for system-level outcomes or system-level measurement. But we certainly, I think that those concepts are included in Domain 5,
okay.
Handoffs and transitions.
Okay.
This is Tommy. I have one comment on Domain 5 as well. The little tree that we have on page 15, it seems to me that there's a level missing in there. That was an adaptation from its original author, right?
No, sir. It was essentially copied fairly. I think we resized it and changed the title, but the figure is the same.
Okay, then it probably isn't worth adding then.
We can add it because I'm the original author, so please feel free.
Oh, okay. Well, the level I think is missing is the first responder level between the activation and the arrival of either basic ambulance care or the advanced pre-hospital care.
Gee, I thought you were going to say the bystander.
Well, you know, bystander could be a first
responder. Yeah, rescuer was.
Right.
I think we should add, I think those are both valuable additions.
Which page was that on?
Page 15.
On the same, this is Nick?
Yes, page 15, using standard numeral of the track changes document as well as the discussion.
We had another comment?
Yes, this is Nick Nadell. Before seeing this diagram, I hadn't really thought of motor vehicle accidents as much as I was thinking of STEMI or stroke. But there is another element that comes before 911 activation in recent months, anyways. General Motors, for example, with their OnStar program, now with their telematics and et cetera, are doing a number of things before 911 is activated, up to and including doing the EMV pre-arrival instructions and care instructions for people that have been in an accident before the call is transferred to 911. And so I don't know if that's too great a level of detail or if 911 activation is inclusive.
A comment, if I may, Dr. Kellerman. We think this is another area for subdomain development. because there are a number of different aspects to the coordination of care. It's not just the setting and potential approaches that might be part of phase one, but also there are these mini transfers and coordinations such as handoff, as well as physical transfer of patients to appropriate care facilities. And I think each one of these levels, as whether it's at the bystander, the most preparedness model, the EMS response, including basic EMS, first responder, the idea of advanced transport, aerial medicine, for example, and then a community versus specialized resource facility might be an area for subdomain development.
Okay, we'll come back to that when we shift into that part of the discussion.
Thanks,
Doug. Okay, any other comments about domain number five, coordination of care?
Yeah, this is Art Cooper. To follow up on Tommy Loacendale's comment about standards, I just wanted to be sure that we included the notion of caregivers and parents as part of that general concept.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other comments on domain number five? Okay. Moving on to domain six, which is outcomes, which is on page 16 of your document. Do we have any comments on the outcomes revisions? Once again, as a reminder, this talked about, you know, non-traditional EMS roles, looking at, you know, activities outside of the hospital, other than transport, community paramedicine, stuff like that. Any comments on domain number six? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the guiding principles. And Chuck, help me with the page number on this.
Page 17, Andy.
Okay, page 17. Oh, they're there. You could see on the slide deck there was seven or eight different changes to the guiding principles. Do we have any comments on the guiding principle section as it now appears? Once again, the two new principles kind of captured our discussions around integrated systems and also the need for data and data-driven processes to be in place. Everyone comfortable with the guiding principles on page 17 through 18? Okay. Any other comments on the revisions? I know we're on the point of the agenda moving over to the subdomain, so I just wanted to see if there are any other comments on the revisions, version 2 of the document, before we move on to the domains and subdomain discussion.
Well, Martinez, I keep coming up. Where the reference to kind of the characteristics of quality, does that belong in here? Because we had a lot of discussion about patient-centeredness and effectiveness and, you know, timeliness and stuff, and those are kind of germane to this document. Is that in here? Am I missing that? In terms of measures, that doesn't belong in this.
It's the criteria for evaluating measures. If you look on page 18 of the track changes document.
Okay.
And, Jeff, do you have any further comment on that?
No, not really. Dr. Martinez, I think that some of those concepts are sort of scattered throughout, but I agree with you that it seems an important concept that was brought up in the Washington meeting as well. I mean, whatever the group thinks, it may be that another guiding principle could address that, or whatever the group thinks as far as how to more explicitly draw that out.
Rick, part of this is from the framework of the NQF process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this specific subsection on criteria for evaluating measures highlight these ideas for example, importance? Is it clinically relevant? Does it contribute to quality of care? There's a scientific acceptability criterion on how well the measure is defined, the strength of evidence, its validity and reliability, and then the concept of usability, how meaningful are these, and is the relationship between the measure use and the intended outcome of sufficient magnitude to be important, and can that be quantifiable? And then the last criterion is the feasibility. Are these calculations and the data readily available across these systems of care? And we then just highlighted a little bit more of the implementation of the measure of cost effective, just to carry on that theme of cost effectiveness. So
this is Sally, to add a little bit to that. So one of the reasons we put this into a framework, and certainly if it needs to be woven in more in addition to be on its own, is to make sure the measure developers understand what the thresholds of and what criteria they should think about as they either improve upon existing measures or develop them, because ideally this framework would then set in motion future efforts to actually endorse measures that are ready for national implementation.
Okay. So we're kind of agnostic at this point. Is that it? Really, it's more than whether they're acceptable, usable, feasible, important.
I'm going to let Sally answer that question fully, but certainly from our perspective, we think that those are very important criteria on which to assess any performance metric, and that this framework informs the key concepts of emergency medical care systems on a regional basis, and that these should be both the domains of those measures. They should be subject to these guiding principles, and these are the criteria that should be used to evaluate whether or not these measures should move forward. But Sally, please put that in context.
That's right. So until we actually pulled in measures to compare and evaluate them, we're just basically putting out there what the evaluation criteria are. I mean, these are the NQF criteria. There's a lot of detail behind how one might demonstrate that they're meeting these particular criteria. And this criteria is particularly geared towards public reporting and more national implementation. It's not necessarily for quality improvement measures. You may want to lower the threshold for some of those types of activities. But that's right, it's to keep this report in context of future efforts, but also to make sure that ahead of time we're signaling to the developers what they need to be thinking about as they test their measures, as they develop them, et cetera. But, again, as we said on the on-site, especially when we talk about usability and then especially feasibility for the framework, we welcome you all to push the envelope even if a measurement area is not feasible right now because the data infrastructures, for example, are not in place. We still want those discussed in the framework. So this is not meant to be limiting the framework. It's just to put into context future measure development efforts, if that's helpful.
Okay.
Did we address your issue? Or Art, I'll obviously let you guide this discussion, but
I'm new to the process, and I think that this it's a different approach. So I'm fine with watching how it works out. You know,
we just think it's really important that these measures, as they are developed, are consistent with these guiding principles that cross these domains that we've agreed upon, and that fulfill these criteria. Because if there certainly are alternative approaches that others have used, and yet NQF has been successful in implementing this approach across so many different care systems and areas, it seems like a valuable one to engage into our perspective. At least that's been our stance as we've been moving forward with the process.
Okay, I understand.
Very good. Based on the discussion, any other comments about the revised report?
Okay, hearing none. Art, are you on, do you want to lead us through the domains and subdomains portion?
Sure will. Sally, you want to tee this up regarding, again, just to get, because this was relatively new ground for us, about what you have in mind here?
I do. Thank you. So we sent along to all of you an example of a recent framework report where the steering committee determined some domains, just as you all have, and then also laid out some subdomains. And as we mentioned in the email, domains do not have to have subdomains, but we wanted to make sure we kicked this around a little bit further with all of you. The advantage of subdomains is they do provide a little bit more guidance to measure developers. So as you can see in the example that we sent, and it's up on it's slide 18, one of the domains for the framework that we use as an example, which was ambulatory care, was healthcare home. And then they identified some subdomains, talking about relationships between the patient and the home, point of access, routine, acute and chronic care coordination. And from within those, measure developers then would think about what measures do they have now and what do they need to develop that would further populate those subdomains. Some other examples of subdomains could be, for example, a clinical care domain for a particular effort. And then that clinical care domain could potentially have subdomains such as prevention and screening. They could also target broad condition areas like respiratory conditions or behavioral health and signal, again, that within thinking about clinical care domain, that there are also some important domains, for example, behavioral health, and then the measure developers would think about what kind of behavioral health measures would make sense within that measurement area. So, again, I think it's not to create subdomains where the committee don't believe they exist, but where we can land on some of them, we have found in NQF's experience and in our communications with measure developers that they can find them helpful. So that's what we wanted to do. I think we talked a little bit about the in-person meeting, but there was so much that we had to do even figuring out the domains. We just want to kick this around a little bit more. So that's our spiel, and Art, if you want to take it away or add anything to that.
No, I think that was a good start. And you know, obviously we're challenging ourselves both in terms of the time left on this call and that this is a relatively new content area. I scribbled a few possibilities on a piece of paper. I suspect others do as well. If we could quickly walk back through the domains and see if folks on the call have some suggested subdomains, and we can just take them in order, beginning with capability, capacity, and access, what individuals think might be promising or appropriate subdomains to clarify that would be worthwhile. Perhaps to get things going, and Sally, help me, because you guys have a lot of experience with this. What occurred to me potentially, for example, for capability would be to say that receiving facilities are categorized with respect to key capabilities. That's a process that's been around a long time. Currently, it's fragmented across different disease groups, but you have to kind of know what facilities are have the capabilities to do what in order to even begin to do regionalization. For capacity, one might say receiving facilities have and share real-time information regarding staffing, on-call coverage, and current whatever. And for access, there might be an opportunity there to put in the phrase participating institutions or organizations or whatever abide by federal, state, and local laws and regulations. But that's just one construct. There may be better ones out there. With that as an exemplar, other people on the call have thoughts for subdomains for that first box.
Art, John,
yes.
Files.
Hi, John.
I like the direction you're heading in with capability, because not all EDs are created the same. Not all burn centers are created the same. Not all trauma centers or children's hospitals are created the same. You know, there are capability changes, and kind of speaks to the level one, two, or three approach, or you know, something like that. But I think that was a direction your recommendation was leaning towards.
Yeah, I mean, a good example from my own background was our university hospital did not do OB.
Correct.
We were an emergency department.
Correct.
That is not a place you'd want to take a woman in active labor.
Correct.
Which creates all kinds of Impella issues. But that wasn't a state at that point. Everyone knew, but there was no specific designation about facilities. So categorization may be too much of a term of art, but the idea that you know in advance what facilities can do what seems to me to be a precondition and might be a relevant subdomain there.
And I think that relates well to criteria for evaluating measures. A lot of those things have studied and do relate well to selecting measures.
Okay. Other thoughts, Sally? I hope you're scribbling notes. I encourage everyone to email their comments immediately following the call as well. Any others on subdomains for capability, capacity, and access?
Yeah, this is Joe Wright. I would agree, Art, that the subdomain around capability specifically for pediatric care is an important concept to capture and think about metrics around. So I would concur with that comment.
This is Art Cooper. I obviously agree with Joe.
Okay. Any others?
This is Robin. I mentioned earlier with the capability, very similar to what you're talking about as far as the hospital. We should also look at the capability for pre-hospital providers. What is the capability of their agents?
So participating organizations and facilities are categorized might be one way to be more generic in the term.
Yes.
You're right. Different services have different capabilities. Any issues that people want to clarify? Do we need to have a specific subdomain to describe the issue of capacity?
This is Gary Wingrove.
Well, the capacity, this is John Kusky, capacity would not just be, say, a specialist, a particular specialty on call at a hospital, would also have to be the technical aspects that provide support to that specialist. And I've seen it happen where capacity is assumed to be just the on-call specialist.
I agree, and that's where I kind of mumbled my words a moment ago. You know, you could imagine, for example, if you don't have a neurosurgeon on call, that's one thing. You could have a neurosurgeon, but your CAT scan is busted, or there's no tech available. You're in a world of hurt. And
right.
So, you know, systems, it would seem to me, need to have some ability to know what is available and what is not available in near or real-time basis and be willing to share that information on a regional basis.
Yes.
Some places do that. A lot of places currently don't.
I'm not sure I understand the difference the way y'all are talking about it between capability and capacity.
Well, capability would be a level one trauma center. Capacity would be a level one trauma center that has a functioning CT scanner, available personnel in-house, and an open operating room as opposed to everything's wall-to-wall and jammed in. Because you might have a designated facility, but you're incapacitated for strike.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I look at capacity as the ability to absorb patients or to provide, right?
Yes.
Whereas capability, interesting enough, I don't necessarily. It's funny when you look at stroke systems that are put in place. What you'll get a lot from the stroke docs is that the smaller hospitals call a lot to begin with, but then they get smarter, and their capability actually goes up to provide care to these stroke patients because they get educated and they get knowledgeable. So I'm wondering how that, to me, that's capability. Their capability goes up because the system provides feedback, as pointed out in our document.
Okay. Specifically for this issue, are there other terms, bullet points, that we want to commend for subdomains? Because we've got five others to work through in just a few minutes.
I think Gary Wingrove, I tag on to Robin's comment on capability should be air and ground. And capacity from the EMS perspective would have to do with mutual aid agreements and availability of resources.
Okay. Any other comments on this subdomain?
Should there be? Well, Yes, that surge.
Yeah, so the concept of preparedness and of surge art might be areas to intersect in this domain.
Okay.
This is Nick Nadeel. I was going to suggest that we look at the CDC's definitions for capability and capacity related to how they've used it for preparedness, just so that the way that we define it and the way we use it is consistent with the other planning mechanisms that have been going on for a while.
Okay. Let me drive you guys.
Art, this is Art Cooper. I want to heartily endorse that last comment. I think that the words capability and capacity are used in different ways by different sectors, and I think it's really important that we be very clear what we're talking about in terms of the use of those words.
Well, we should be very clear in the document we just discussed, and if we're not, we need to make sure that that's addressed. I mean,
yeah.
I don't mean to be pedantic. Right at the moment, we're trying to decide, are there subdomains within these that we need to specify in this document before it goes out for public comment.
So, Art, as a comment, if you have a subdomain on preparedness, then you can put those terms and in the context of various policies, CDC, HHS, and the construct we put together.
So preparedness might be a subdomain even.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, if we could shift for a moment, I don't know that we're going to have time, Sally, to accomplish this particular task, but recognition and diagnosis. A comment was made earlier on the call about things like OnStar or automatic collision notification. One subdomain might be technology. Another might be training or tests. Thoughts from the group.
Dr. Kellerman, this is Alan. One concept that may have been included there, but I guess that it goes back to community awareness of whether they self-help or take self-action or initiate any of those things. So I don't know if the intent was to go that far back, but I would think that's at the very beginning of where this whole response would begin. So
no,
I
hear you. In my mind's eye, I considered a term like training. There's training of bystanders as well as training of professional personnel, but agree with you. If you don't know what you're looking at, you don't know to call 911,
right?
Much less to render aid.
I guess maybe even in this subdomain, and maybe going back to the first domain, when we talk about access, we probably need to, you know, at least to talk about, is it 911 access? Is it enhanced 911 access? Is there protocols in place? Is it emergency medical dispatch? Seems like all those things merit maybe a subdomain of their own. Which may or may not be plugged in here under training. It may be more appropriate under access.
I agree with that.
Again, thinking broadly, perhaps the term there might be communications. I don't know, but otherwise we're rewriting our document within our subdomains. Other suggestions around recognition and diagnosis? How about resource utilization? Evidence-based triage guidelines, telemedicine.
Yeah.
Blank.
Yeah, this is
I'm not, it's Gary Wingrove. I'm not quite sure how to phrase this, but there may also be areas where resources are used inappropriately is not the right word. Too many resources are used. I'm not sure, quite sure how to say that.
This is
efficiency. Overutilization.
Tommy, I was
trying overutilization. There you go.
That's coming in a big way. I think it's a good thing to measure on.
So maybe that's efficient use of resources. Not under, not over.
Two examples might be using an air ambulance when you shouldn't. Another one might be sending 15 responders to a single patient.
Could probably cover that. Sally, help me if I'm wrong here, but efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put in an overuse / efficiency.
That's like over-triage, under-triage.
Right. Again, we're not We're not proposing specific quality criteria.
You have evidence-based triage. What about evidence-based clinical pathways or evidence-based protocols? Because that really is setting utilization.
Is that research utilization, Rick, or is that in part two?
What, under medical care?
Under recognition and diagnosis, evidence-based protocols.
That's a good question because you know, one of the problems we have right now is a lot of protocols overdrive. If they're misinterpreted, they overdrive utilization. That's a good question. I don't really know if I have the answer. But evidence-based, I think you're going to see more evidence-based clinical pathways and protocols. That's a good question where that goes. I don't know.
We've got 4 minutes until scheduled NQF member and public comment, and we haven't had a broad discussion of where we are with the document. Sally, I look to your guidance at this point because we're only partway through this.
That's right. I think you're right, Art. We won't get through all the subdomain conversations. What we'll do is follow up through email. Eric and I will think about how to make it an effective email exchange.
Okay.
And we'll continue fleshing these out. That said, we would like to make sure that we're recapping where the version is today, what needs to happen, and what the implications that has for it to be posted public comment as it is currently on the timeline, or if we need to think about providing us all, and Chuck and Jeff, a little bit more time to address them. So,
I want to paraphrase what Sally just said to the group very directly. The key question that you all need to decide in the next few minutes is, given the draft that you have seen, the comments that were made on the presentation today, and the comments that we have shared, are you comfortable saying with those things, if you will, taken on faith and woven in, we as a group are ready to step back and have this go forward for public comment by NQF members, et cetera, or do we want to give Chuck and colleagues and the revision team one more round to put in the input that people have contributed in writing up to this point and verbally on this call, buff the subdomain issue a bit, and then I would think, Sally, in 10 days, 2 weeks or whatever, have another written document out or perhaps 48 or 72 hours worth of written comment. And at that point, people either we do effectively a consent agenda, I'm good with this, or we have one more very focused phone call, 30 or 45 minutes. So we can either say, we're good, go forward, make the final revisions with our confidence, or we can give the group a little extra time and have one more very quick call. I gather those are sort of our options, Sally?
Yes.
What is the group's wishes?
Well, this is a lot to digest, and we're taking big bites. My personal view is that this is a very smart group, and we'd probably be good to have a cleaned-up version with some of the revisions in there for review to get another shot at it before it goes out for public comment or, you know, review.
Kelly, can I ask a clarification point? This is Chuck Heron. I thought the purpose of the subdomain discussion was for development, not for incorporation in this document. Did I misinterpret that?
Yes, you did. Subdomains would go into the framework because the framework is meant to signal the measured developer, so...
That we haven't had any opportunity to address subdomains at all, or just wanted to let you
right.
know.
Yes. This is
the first we have heard of this.
That's right.
And one might suggest that's reason enough to take just a little extra time, unless we're going to get you in trouble, Sally, and your colleagues.
Well, so here's right. So here are the challenges. We do want to try and stay on timeline, but we have a couple weeks that we can play with and still get this done within this calendar year, which is really what we are trying to do. That said, what I will say, what is difficult is to get all of you on a phone call within 2 weeks because of so many competing schedules. So if at all possible, what would be great is a review, just as you have recommended, Art, but as you also recommended, kind of a consent via email, unless it's determined upon the next iteration that we really need to get everybody on the phone.
Right. I would suggest to people, if you've got some final tweaks, communicate those by email, but if you've got major reservations with what you see and you feel that that has to be chewed on by the group, then we'll do another call. Might be a good middle ground between the two of these. Certainly, if we schedule a call, we're going to have to work with whoever can be on the phone, whether it's five people or the entire committee, just because it's summertime and we won't ever be able to get everybody together if we try, particularly in a two-week time frame.
Correct.
But does that work for folks?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Okay. So what that tells us, next steps for us here at NQF is we'll continue to synthesize the comments. We're going to very shortly, if hopefully by tomorrow, given the hour today, send out an email that hopefully will allow you to effectively respond to the subdomains. Concurrent with that, I'm sure Chuck and Jeff have been taking notes, and we'll work with them to continue getting the next cleaned-up version out, incorporate the subdomains, spend some time with the writing team, making sure, Chuck, you know, I don't want you to feel that this has been sprung on you out of nowhere, so make sure that the team has an opportunity to collaborate. And then within about 2 weeks, we'll send out that clean version with clear instructions on, you know, 48 hours, 72 hours to respond. Tweaks, fine. You know, hopefully if they're just tweaks, you can say yes. If you can address these comments, then I'm ready for public comment. Otherwise, at that time, we will determine if we need to have another call.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So that said, can we, operator, please open it up for public comment to make sure we are allowing them the opportunity to ask questions of the committee or provide their direct input to the committee?
Thank you. Those lines are open at this time.
Dr. Boyd, are you out there?
I believe he is in Niagara Falls right now.
Ah, okay.
On the phone.
I like that you keep track of him, Andy.
I emailed him just so he wouldn't think that we had forgotten about him.
Appreciate that. Okay, it sounds like we don't have any member or public comment at this time.
I'm curious.
Yes.
Blake Thaler from Cleveland. Can the draft report be put online as a draft report to be accessible? I know it's not going to be the final version, but is it possible to see the draft report as a draft? It could be labeled as such. It could be highlighted as draft underneath it, watermarked or whatever. Would that be possible?
Are you talking about within this group or you're talking about for public? Maybe I'm confused.
Yeah, I think I'm...
How NQF does it is because it's a transparent process. You could put the report that was marked up from the last meeting online, so it would have been a little bit easier to follow the conversation.
I see. We don't typically post the document in the interim. It's not quite the same process as the measurement endorsement.
Right.
But you are welcome to email us. I'm not sure if this is a steering committee member asking, and we can figure out how to get you a copy, or I will also follow up with Heidi, our VP here, and see if there's a way to do that. But it does follow a little. It's not meant to not be transparent. It's just...
I understand.
Yeah.
It's hard to follow a lot of the conversation without having a draft report
out.
Yeah.
So. No, that's a very good point. We'll take that to heart and kind of think about that for future efforts as well.
And they have, and Mike Hamilton has my email address. Do you know Mike? At NQF?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, if it's possible, just forward me a draft. Even just me, that would be great.
And what was your name again?
Michael Phelan.
Michael Phelan. Okay, absolutely. Thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, so we have posted up right now the next steps. I think we went over them. You know, we'll see as we get closer whether or not we'll have to move the public comment out from July 15th. We're amenable to that. As I said, we have a couple weeks of wiggle room, so we'll meet with the writing team and the project team and see how much time is needed. And all of you should stay tuned from email from us to get the subdomains finalized. Again, we really appreciate all your input. We think the conversation today was really valuable and are looking forward to getting this into tip-top shape. So Art, any other final closing thoughts?
No, I'm fine, and I appreciate what you all are doing and, again, everybody's time and input on this. Andy?
No, I think, you know, everything that's needed to be said has been said. I appreciate the efforts. I do understand and appreciate the timeline constraints that we're under, so your prompt attention and replies over the next couple of weeks, especially with the 4th of July holiday fast approaching, would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. I almost forgot about 4th of July. Eric, did you have something you wanted to...
Sure, and just a reminder from on the process end that once we pass the steering committee offers a recommendation for endorsement and it goes to public comment, we'll still get a chance to look at it one last time. That's the purpose of the currently scheduled late August call, to look at and make sure that we are on the same page as far as responding to the member and public comments. So you will have one last look at it before it goes to the NQF board.
Well, and afterwards you actually make a decision about whether you recommend it for endorsement.
Right.
So, okay. Great. We'll close 5 minutes early. I'm sure everyone is anxious to get on to whatever your next activity of the day is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Thanks, Art and Andy. And Chuck and Steph, thank you very much. We'll be in touch with you soon for next steps.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Lots of good things.